this is here and now. And one thing we've seen a lot of at the Olympics in Sochi is athletes competing for countries that aren't exactly their countries. There's the Korean speed skater An Hyun-soo, who won the bronze gold medal in the men's 1500-meter short track for Russia under the name Victor An. Julia Marino is competing as Paraguay's first Winter Olympian in freestyle skiing, but she was raised in the U.S. These athletes have been called passport Olympians or even migrant workers. Joining us to discuss is Peter Spiro, a law professor at Temple University's Beasley School of Law, who specializes in dual citizenship. Peter, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Well, how common is this whole trend of switching countries to take part in the Olympics?
It's increasingly common as states look to expand their representation at the Games and athletes look to find a way to the Games when other avenues may be blocked. So athletes are discovering that they're eligible for citizenship in other countries, often through ancestry. Countries are sometimes looking for athletes to represent them in the games, and it becomes a mutually attractive deal, really, by way of getting to the Olympics.
Well, let's go through some of the examples here so people can see, because there is a wide range of what people are doing here. There is the free skier Julia Marino. She was born in Paraguay, adopted by an American family, and raised in the States, but now she is skiing for her ancestral homeland. She's going back to where she was born anyway. What about that one?
Right. So she's eligible for citizenship on the basis of birth in Paraguay. So she's taking advantage of that. For the Olympics, you have to be a citizen of the country for which you compete. She's eligible for that citizenship. Paraguay is interested in having her compete in the Olympics. Bingo. She wouldn't make the U.S. team. So it is a little bit of an end run around the ordinary rules.
She wouldn't make the U.S. team. So she wouldn't That's even right. have been in the Olympics if it hadn't been for her home country of Paraguay.
Exactly. So you do get an increasing number of these anomalous cases of individuals who wouldn't otherwise qualify for the Olympics.
Well, what about this case of the Korean speed skater An Hyun-soo, who won the bronze medal in the men's 1500-meter short track for Russia? He was trying to decide between going with the United States and Russia. He went with Russia.
So here's a competitor who clearly belongs in the Olympics. He's unhappy with his coaching and his support in South Korea, and so he's looking to compete for a country where he's going to be happier competing for. And so he, in effect, shopped around for the state that was going to give him the best support, that was going to be most receptive, and that was going to be at the lowest hassle factor with respect to acquiring citizenship. So one problem with his considering the United States is that we don't have a fast track to citizenship for extraordinary athletes. They have to go through all the usual hoops. And those hoops can be pretty daunting, including a 5-year residency requirement. In contrast, Russia, if you, I think the language is, if you're to provide exceptional services to the state, well, they pretty much can make you an instant citizen.
And pay you very handsomely.
Pay handsomely, support your training. You know, it's not that easy being an Olympic athlete in some of these lesser sports where the endorsements may not be so common. And so we can think of this as a way of getting states to compete among themselves with both athletes and fans as the beneficiaries.
Well, what about this one? This is an interesting one. Gary and Angelica Di Silvestri from Staten Island and Italy. They live in Canada, but they're going to be the first Winter Olympians for the Caribbean island of Dominica in the sport of cross-country skiing. How did that happen?
They undertook certain unspecified philanthropic activities in Dominica. Dominica is a country that's known to sell its citizenship at actually a bargain rate. And so it's possible that was their route to citizenship. So they get citizenship in Dominica, and Dominica is not paying their way to the Olympics. They're self-supporting in this case. Dominica is getting something out of the deal, or at least not losing anything. And the Silvestris are getting to compete on the world stage. I think that's a case that probably shows the downside of the existing system.
But you become a big fish in a small pond.
Big fish in a small pond, and it shows that citizenship rules can be exploited. So that for anybody who's wishing for a world, and it did once exist, in which athletes were really from the countries that they compete for, that world just doesn't exist anymore.
We're speaking with Peter Spiro, law professor at Temple University's Beasley School of Law, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Peter, people may be wondering, after hearing all these examples, what exactly should be done about this, if anything? You say, just have free agency, let them do what they want.
Yeah, so as it is now, it's a little bit luck of the draw. If you happen to have a grandparent who was born in a country whose citizenship you're eligible for, or if you were born in a country before you were adopted by an American, or if you have enough money to buy your extra citizenship, then you get a chance to compete. But that's not going to be true for everybody. And so it's not really a level playing field as things are now. And why not just open things up so that the best competitors make their way to the Olympics for one flag or another?
Well, some would say don't do that, because then the rich countries, which already have an advantage in the Olympic Games, are just going to have even more of an advantage, and they'll just be able to pay for the people that they want.
So this is a phenomenon known as muscle drain that has created some concern in thinking through some of these ways of addressing the current situation. I don't think that it necessarily would work to the disadvantage of poorer countries, although it might in some cases. In those cases, it would work to the advantage of the athletes. Athletes in poorer countries may not have much support in terms of training facilities, coaching support, and the other kinds of things that they need to succeed in the games. So that wouldn't be a bad thing for athletes. It wouldn't be a bad thing for the competition. In many cases, of course, these days you have corporations that are sponsoring athletes. And I think corporations in many cases would be quite interested in sponsoring athletes from lesser known countries. In fact, there's one slightly comical example from these games, a luger from Tonga who has taken the name of a German underwear company by way of waving that company's flag in addition to the Tongan flag. I think there are not going to be that many examples of just outright buying. And to the extent that they are, they'll work to the benefit of athletes and fans.
Won't this just ruin the opening ceremonies, though, if you have somebody from Argentina representing China?
Well, just think of all the color stories that NBC would get to regale us with. They've already started doing that. I think that watching the opening ceremonies of these games, there were quite a few instances in which they were telling these kinds of stories. You know, ultimately, I think it's about the athletes and about having a good competition. And we're no longer in the Cold War world in which the Olympics were a kind of surrogate warfare. So I think nationalism is on the decline in any case. I think fans could handle this. After all, in our domestic sports leagues, we don't require that somebody who plays for the Phillies or for the Red Sox or for the Yankees that they actually be from Philadelphia or Boston or New York, and we still manage to cheer them on.
Peter Spiro, law professor at Temple University's Beasley School of Law. He specializes in dual citizenship. Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, it was great to be with you, Jeremy.